Good morning, and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. We take a closer look at this lesson beginning at verse 22. The people who had stayed on the east side of the lake knew that only one boat had been there. They also knew that Jesus had not left in it with his disciples. But the next day, some boats from Tiberias sailed near the place where the crowd had eaten the bread, for which the Lord had given thanks. The people are wondering where Jesus was. And if you remember last week's lesson, Jesus walked on the water, right? His disciples left in the boat, and he walked on the water and met them. And then suddenly they appeared on the shore. So the crowds were aware of this, that he didn't hop in the boat with the disciples, and they're wondering where he was at, okay? Some boats from Tiberias sailed near the place where the crowd had eaten. We believe this was near Bethsaida, and Tiberias was quite a ways away. So they sailed to find Jesus. They saw that Jesus and his disciples had left, and they got into the boats and went to Capernaum to look for Jesus. They found him on the west side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" They couldn't figure out how Jesus got there because he didn't hop in the boat with his disciples. But Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I tell you that you are not looking for me because you saw the miracles, but because you ate all the food you wanted." And in the Greek, what he's saying is you gorged yourselves like pigs, okay, at a trough, all right? So here they come, you know. "Lord, Lord, where have you been? We've missed you. You know, how'd you get over here?" "You just want to see me because you ate like a bunch of pigs, all right?" Kind of reminds me of us, huh? All right. If you were at the Pie Fest, you know what I'm talking about, all right? But in the New Living Translation, okay, verse 26, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs." It's interesting because although the people realized that Jesus was the prophet that was to come, that he was the Messiah, they still didn't understand what his mission was, what the Messiah's mission was. John 6:14. After the people saw the sign that Jesus performed, and this was the loaves and fishes, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet, the one who Moses prophesied about, who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. What we see here is that they wanted an earthly king, all right, an earthly Messiah. And that didn't change, all right? But we find out very early in Jesus' ministry, they identified he was doing the things the Messiah was supposed to do, but he didn't fit into their box, okay? Mark 11, here's the kind of Messiah they were looking for. This is Palm Sunday. "Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David.'" Hosanna in the highest heaven. So were they really expecting God's kingdom? No, they were expecting David's kingdom. Matthew 27, when Jesus is hanging on the cross. "In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. So they weren't looking for a crucified Messiah, right? They wanted a king who was going to take charge. And brothers and sisters, I often wonder, if Jesus would have come down off that cross, if they even would have believed them, okay? Jesus comes on a completely different mission than what the people expected. Mark chapter 12. Jesus said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And they were amazed at him, okay? Does that sound like Jesus is real interested in overthrowing the Roman government? Not at all, right? Luke chapter 17. "Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst.'" Once again, they didn't understand it, right? They're looking for a Messiah to come in and overthrow the Romans and then they could have their Jewish country and religion, right? God doesn't think too much about religion, by the way. And we're going to touch on that later. But there was a man who owned some horses, and they were steeplechase horses. You know, they run the race where they jump over the steeples. Is that what you call them, the steeples, right? Not church steeples, just the barriers, okay? Anyway, he had great horses, but they never won a race. So he said, it has to be the jockey. So he went out and paid a high-priced professional jockey. And sure enough, this jockey was on the horse, and the horse race started. And his horse was in the lead with another horse, and they jump over this one steeple, and they both fall off their horses. Okay. The other jockey doesn't know what to do, but the professional jockey gets up and hops back on the horse, continues and finishes the race, and he wins. And he's in the winner's circle. And the owner's there, and he's not happy with him. He says, you know, he's complaining to him. And the jockey says, well, what's the matter? I won the race. He said, yeah, but you were on the wrong horse. Okay. Today, the Jewish people were on the wrong horse, right? Are we on the wrong horse? What kind of Jesus do we expect? All right. There's true victory is only found in Jesus. But once again, what kind of victory are we looking for? Okay. We want everything to go our way. All right. Yes. But is that necessarily God's way? No. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Okay, we continue now with verse 27. Don't work for food that spoils. And that's the loaves and fishes. Work for food that gives eternal life. Work for spiritual food, all right? Everlasting food. The Son of Man will give you this food because God the Father has given Him the right to do so. And I don't like that translation. He has God's seal, is a better translation. And some of your Bibles may say that. He has God's seal of approval. In the New Living Translation, it says, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of His approval. So are we concerned about the eternal things or the earthly things? Just like the Jewish audience was concerned about. Well, what's interesting about this is Jesus is the only person we read about in the Bible who claimed to have God's seal of approval. This is pretty important. Luther, as I was reading Luther's commentary on this, he called Jesus God's signet ring. And a signet ring is a ring that people would wear, and when they sealed the letter with wax, they would put the mark of the ring on there, and it would show that it came from that person. It was authentic, okay? So it was a seal of authenticity. It also granted authority and security and ownership. And Jesus is saying He has that seal from God. He's authentic. He's the real deal. Okay? He has ownership because He belongs to God, right? If we want things that last, spiritual things, we must seek a personal relationship with the signet ring of God, all right, with Jesus Christ. It doesn't come any other way, folks. It's only through Jesus Christ, because He has the seal. And it hasn't been given to anyone else. Peter says in the book of Acts chapter 4, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So it's only through Jesus that we have salvation. It's only through the signet ring of God that we can be saved, only through His mark. Philip Keller writes a story about a man who began to be a farmer, and he was going to start to raise sheep. So he ordered 30 sheep, and the sheep came in. And his neighbor came up and says, well, you know what time it is? And he came up with a really sharp knife, and the guy knew what it was. It was time to notch the ears, because they don't brand sheep. They notch their ears, all right? And each farmer would have a particular notch of the ear. So the man went to it, and he had to catch each sheep, hold it, and notch the ear. It was painful for the sheep and painful for the man. But once the ear is notched, people know forever that that sheep belongs to that shepherd, okay? Not to another shepherd. in the same way through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's like we're the hot wax, okay? And the signet ring has been placed on us. Or like we're the sheep and our ears have been marked. We're marked with the cross of Christ and we belong to Him forever, okay? And people may not see the cross, but it's there. And it's never going to be removed, all right? We're property of Jesus Christ. How cool is that? That's very cool, yes. To believe in Jesus is to be marked with God's signet ring. Wow. Just think of that, all right? Big hand from heaven coming down with Jesus Christ. Marks us that we belong to Him. We look at the next verse, verse 28. What exactly does God want us to do? The people asked. And this is plural, by the way. What works does God want us to do? And what they're thinking about, the Jews are thinking about the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Jewish law. And they're thinking Jesus is going to say, well, keep the law, okay? But He blows them away. He answers, God wants you to have faith in the one He sent. And it's a singular now. The work that God wants you to do is have faith in the one He sent, who is Jesus Christ. So rather than all these works to earn your salvation, all right, the one work is to believe in Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with Him. Verse 29, Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you, believe in the one He has sent. In John 5, 24, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Ephesians 1, 13, and you, Paul writes, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. When you believed, get this, you were marked in Him with a seal. Sound familiar? But he goes on to say the promised Holy Spirit. Okay. So we have the Holy Spirit. That's our mark. All right. What's amazing, though, is there's many Christians, even though we're marked with Christ and we belong to Him, they want to carry their burdens without Him. All right? And they feel like they need to earn their way to heaven. Okay? I'm not good enough, right? I haven't done enough good things. How can I ever get to heaven? All right? I'm not being the person God wants me to be, right? There's a parable I heard about a man who was driving a wagon down the road, and we'll call the man Kelly. And he's driving this wagon down the road. What? No, it was a wagon with a donkey, all right? The donkey's name was Dennis. Okay. And he's driving down the road, and there's an old man on the side of the road, a really old man, and he's carrying this big, heavy burden on his shoulders. And guess what his name is? Keith. Right? Okay. And Kelly says, hey, Keith, come on, hop in the wagon. And Keith says, sure. So he gets in the wagon, and they're riding down the road. And all of a sudden, Kelly looks back, and Keith still has this heavy burden on his shoulders. And he says, well, why are you carrying the burden? And Keith says, well, you said you'd give me a ride. I didn't know if you'd take my burden. And that's how Christians are, right? We accept Jesus Christ, but we feel like we still have to earn it, right? It's all been done, all right? So embrace Jesus Christ and live in Him, okay? That's what grace alone means, okay? Amen? It's an exclusive claim that Jesus makes. He says, believe in a person, not a religion. Because the Jews wanted the religion, right? Give me something safe I can follow. Give me rules. And then I can follow the rules and I know if I'm going to make it or not, right? And we've been through the book of Acts and we've seen, is that how the book of Acts was? Follow a set of rules? No. It was live in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But over 2,000 years, what has the Christian church done? Made rules. More rules. And your rules aren't like our rules, so you can't have communion with us, okay? Or your rules aren't like our rules, so you're not really baptized, okay? We've turned the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the relationship with Jesus Christ, into a rule book. And it doesn't matter which flavor of Christian you are, okay? And Pastor Perry and I talk about the revival that's going on in America. What it is the same revival that's in Africa and South America and other places in the Far East. People are getting back to the relationship in Jesus Christ. And it's about living in a daily relationship with Jesus. Christianity should not be a religion, okay? Christianity is a relationship. And when you live in relationship with Jesus, okay, are you going to get slammed with the rule book? No. But because you love Him, right, and He loves you, you walk in His way. And it's not a burden. And what I tell the guys in jail every week, I tell them, that's living, okay? If you want real life, follow Jesus. That's real living, okay? And it's not a burden. So believe in a person, not a religion. And you can quote me on that, okay? Verse 30. They replied, man, I can't believe this. What miracle will you work so that we can have faith in you? Okay, mind you, all right, they don't know He's just walked on water, all right? But they do know that He fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men, not counting women and children, so 10 or 12,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But that's not enough, okay? Then they say, for example, when our ancestors were in the desert, they were given manna to eat, and the idea is a continual supply of manna. So what they want is for Him to continually give them fish and bread, all right? It happened just as the Scriptures say, God gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus told them, truly, truly, I tell you, that Moses wasn't the one who gave you bread from heaven, the manna. My Father, and who's the Father? It's God, right? God, Yahweh, is the one who gave you the true bread from heaven. And the bread that God gives is the one who came down from heaven. Who's the one who came down from heaven? Jesus. So what's He saying? He's saying, I existed before, right? People say He never claimed to be God. Well, He's claiming right here, okay? He's saying, I came down from heaven. Verse 33, and the bread that God gives is the one who came down from heaven to give life. And that's His purpose, is to give life to the world. But the bread of heaven comes down, not as manna, but in a person, okay? Once again, it comes in a person. The people said, sir, give us this bread and don't ever stop. Sounds kind of like the woman at the well, right? Give me that water and never stop, okay? But do they realize what they're asking for? No. Because He's standing right there, right? All they have to do is believe in Him and they got the bread that will last forever, right? Verse 33 in the New Living Translation, the true bread of God is the one who is Jesus who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. The bread is a person, and only Jesus can satisfy us in this life and in the next life, and only He can save us from our sins. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. Luke chapter 2, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Hebrews 5:9, and once made perfect, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Revelation 7:10, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. Isaiah 12, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord, Yahweh, the Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. And when did Yahweh become our salvation? When the bread of heaven came down, right? Isaiah 59, He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So God sent His own arm and achieved salvation for him, and His own righteousness sustained him. So once again, you see that God reaches down into His creation with Jesus Christ in order to save us. All right, it's in Him. It's in a person. It's not in a set of rules. Okay? So what bread do we choose? Do we choose Jesus or do we choose something else? Okay. It's pretty easy in the jails when you talk to the people there. They know. Okay. Well, I choose meth. Or I choose alcohol. Or I choose, you know, something else rather than Jesus Christ. But it's more subtle for us, isn't it? Okay. This time of year could be football, right? Who knows? It can be anything. You know, it can be a material thing, it can be money, okay? I know none of us worry about money, right? But what do we choose rather than Jesus Christ? There was an African Muslim, and he converted to Christianity. And a pastor asked him why he converted to Christianity, and he said, well, I was going down the road of life, and there was a fork in the road. And I had to choose which direction I would go. And there was only one man who had been there before. So I chose to follow the one who has been there. Only Jesus has died and risen from the dead, right? Only Jesus has lived a perfect life. So who are we going to follow, all right? Who are we going to follow in this life? It's kind of amazing that... I was talking to a young man. His name is Christian, ironically, in jail yesterday. And he was talking about making bad choices. And he said, when I get out, I'm going to start making good choices. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? He said, well, I just avoid the stuff I did before. And I said, well, that's a start, okay. But what God wants you to do, He wants us to do, is include Him in all of our decisions. All of our decisions, right? And then we'll make right decisions, or come closer to making right decisions in everything we do, right? Because God is the wisdom, right? And then the lights went on for Christian. Salvation, eternal life, is found in a person, and that person is Jesus of Nazareth. So today's lesson is pretty simple. Today, I encourage you to choose Jesus, all right? Choose Jesus. There's a lot of other things we can choose in this life, especially in the United States. We just had our Black Friday. I mean, you could choose anything, right? Okay? But choose Jesus in all things. Amen?